This is the reading for April 17th, Psalm 107. Thank the Lord because He is good. His love continues forever. That is what those whom the Lord has saved should say. He has saved them from the enemy and has gathered them from other lands, from east and west, north and south. Some people had wandered in the desert lands. They found no city in which to live. They were hungry and thirsty, and they were discouraged. In their misery, they cried out to the Lord, and He saved them from their troubles. He led them on a straight road to a city where they could live. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His love and for the miracles He does for people. He satisfies the thirsty and fills up the hungry. Some sat in gloom and darkness. They were prisoners suffering in chains. They had turned against the words of God and had refused the advice of God Most High. So He broke their pride by hard work. They stumbled and no one helped. In their misery they cried out to the Lord, and He saved them from their troubles. He brought them out of their gloom and darkness and broke their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His love and for the miracles He does for people. He breaks down bronze gates and cuts apart iron bars. Some fools turned against God and suffered for the evil they did. They refused to eat anything, so they almost died. In their misery, they cried out to the Lord, and He saved them from their troubles. God gave the command and healed them, so they were saved from dying. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His love and for the miracles He does for people. Let them offer sacrifices to thank Him. With joy, they should tell what He has done. Others went out to sea in ships and did business on the great oceans. They saw what the Lord could do, the miracles He did in the deep oceans. He spoke, and a storm came up, which blew up high waves. The ships were tossed as high as the sky and fell low to the depths. The storm was so bad that they lost their courage. They stumbled and fell like people who were drunk. They did not know what to do. In their misery, they cried out to the Lord, and He saved them from their troubles. He stilled the storm and calmed the waves. They were happy that it was quiet, and God guided them to the port they wanted. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His love and for the miracles He does for people. Let them praise His greatness in the meeting of the people. Let them praise Him in the meeting of the older leaders. He changed rivers into a desert and springs of water into dry ground. He made fertile land salty because the people there did evil. He changed the desert into pools of water and dry ground into springs of water. He had the hungry settle there so they could build a city in which to live. They planted seeds in the fields and vineyards, and they had a good harvest. God blessed them, and they grew in number. Their cattle did not become fewer. Because of disaster, troubles, and sadness, their families grew smaller and weaker. He showed He was displeased with their leaders and made them wander in a pathless desert. But He lifted the poor out of their suffering and made their families grow like flocks of sheep. Good people see this and are happy, but the wicked say nothing. Whoever is wise will remember these things and will think about the love of the Lord. Judges chapter 1. After Joshua died, the Israelites asked the Lord, "Who will be first to go and fight for us against the Canaanites?" The Lord said to them, "The tribe of Judah will go. I have handed the land over to them." The men of Judah said to the men of Simeon, their relatives, "Come and help us fight the Canaanites for our land. If you do, we will go and help you fight for your land." So the men of Simeon went with them. When Judah attacked, the Lord handed over the Canaanites and the Perizzites to them, and they defeated 10,000 men at the city of Bezek. There they found Adonai Bezek, the ruler of the city, and fought him. The men of Judah defeated the Canaanites and the Perizzites, but Adonai Bezek ran away. The men of Judah chased him, and when they caught him, they cut off his thumbs and big toes. Adonai Bezek said, 70 kings whose thumbs and big toes had been cut off used to eat scraps that fell from my table. Now God has paid me back for what I did to them." The men of Judah took Adonai Bezek to Jerusalem, and he died there. Then the men of Judah fought against Jerusalem and captured it. They attacked with their swords and burned the city. Later they went down to fight the Canaanites who lived in the mountains, in the dry country to the south, and in the western hills. The men of Judah went to fight against the Canaanites in the city of Hebron, which used to be called Kiriath Arba, and they defeated Shishai, Ahiman, and Talmai. Then they left there and went to fight against the people living in Debir. In the past, Debir had been called Kiriath Sefer. Before attacking the city, Caleb said, "I will give Aksah my daughter as a wife to the man who attacks and captures the city of Kiriath Sefer." Othniel, son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, captured the city. So Caleb gave his daughter Aksah to Othniel to be his wife. When Aksah came to Othniel, she told him to ask her father for a field. When she got down from her donkey, Caleb asked her, "What do you want?" Aksah answered him, "Do me a special favor. Since you have given me land in southern Canaan, also give me springs of water." So Caleb gave her the upper and lower springs. The Kenite people, who were from the family of Moses' father-in-law, left Jericho, the city of palm trees. They went with the men of Judah to the desert of Judah to live with them there in southern Judah near the city of Arad. The men of Judah and the men of Simeon, their relatives, defeated the Canaanites who lived in Zephath. They completely destroyed the city, so they called it Hormah. The men of Judah captured Gaza, Ashkelon, Ekron, and the lands around them. The Lord was with the men of Judah. They took the land in the mountains, but they could not force out the people living on the plain, because they had iron chariots. As Moses had promised, Hebron was given to Caleb, and Caleb forced out the three sons of Anak. But the people of Benjamin could not make the Jebusite people leave Jerusalem. Since that time, the Jebusites have lived with the Benjaminites in Jerusalem. The men of Joseph went to fight against the city of Bethel, and the Lord was with them. They sent some spies to Bethel, which used to be called Luz. The spies saw a man coming out of the city and said to him, "Show us a way into the city, and we will be kind to you." So the man showed them the way into the city. The men of Joseph attacked with swords the people in Bethel, but they let the man and his family go free. He went to the land where the Hittites lived and built a city. He named it Luz, which it is called even today. There were Canaanites living in the cities of Bethshan, Taanach, Dor, Ibleam, Megiddo, and the small towns around them. The people of Manasseh did not force those people out of their towns because the Canaanites were determined to stay there. Later, the Israelites grew strong and forced the Canaanites to work as slaves. But they did not make all the Canaanites leave their land. The people of Ephraim did not force out all of the Canaanites living in Gezer. So the Canaanites continued to live in Gezer with the people of Ephraim. The people of Zebulun did not force out the Canaanites living in the cities of Kitron and Nahalal. They stayed and lived with the people of Zebulun, but Zebulun made them work as slaves. The people of Asher did not force the Canaanites from the cities of Akko, Sidon, Alab, Akzib, Helbah, Aphek, and Rehob. Since the people of Asher did not force them out, the Canaanites continued to live with them. The people of Naphtali did not force out the people of the cities of Beth Shemesh and Beth Anath. So they continued to live with the Canaanites in those cities, and the Canaanites worked as slaves. The Amorites forced the Danites back into the mountains and would not let them come down to live in the plain. The Amorites were determined to stay in Mount Heres, Ajalon, and Shalbim, but when the Israelites grew stronger, they made the Amorites work as slaves. The land of the Amorites was from Scorpion Pass to Selah and beyond. Judges chapter 2. The angel of the Lord went up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, "I brought you up from Egypt and led you to the land I promised to give your ancestors. I said, I will never break my agreement with you, but you must not make an agreement with the people who live in this land. You must destroy their altars, but you did not obey me. How could you do this? Now I tell you, I will not force out the people in this land. They will be your enemies, and their gods will be a trap for you." After the angel gave Israel this message from the Lord, they cried loudly. So they named the place Bochim. There they offered sacrifices to the Lord. Then Joshua sent the people back to their land. The people served the Lord during the lifetime of Joshua and during the lifetimes of the older leaders who lived after Joshua and who had seen what great things the Lord had done for Israel. Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. They buried him in his own land at Timnath-Serah in the mountains of Ephraim, north of Mount Gash. After those people had died, their children grew up and did not know the Lord or what he had done for Israel. So they did what the Lord said was wrong, and they worshipped the Baal idols. They quit following the Lord, the God of their ancestors, who had brought them out of Egypt. They began to worship the gods of the people who lived around them, and that made the Lord angry. The Israelites quit following the Lord and worshipped Baal and Ashtoreth. The Lord was angry with the people of Israel, so he handed them over to robbers who took their possessions. He let their enemies who lived around them defeat them. They could not protect themselves. When the Israelites went out to fight, they always lost because the Lord was not with them. The Lord had sworn to them this would happen, so the Israelites suffered very much. Then the Lord chose leaders called judges who saved the Israelites from the robbers. But the Israelites did not listen to their judges. They were not faithful to God, but worshipped other gods instead. Their ancestors had obeyed the Lord's command, but they quickly turned away and did not obey. When their enemies hurt them, the Israelites cried for help. So the Lord felt sorry for them and sent judges to save them from their enemies. The Lord was with those judges all their lives, but when the judges died, the Israelites again sinned and worshipped other gods. They became worse than their ancestors. The Israelites were very stubborn and refused to change their evil ways. So the Lord became angry with the Israelites. He said, "These people have broken the agreement I made with their ancestors. They have not listened to me. I will no longer defeat the nations who were left when Joshua died. I will use them to test Israel, to see if Israel will keep the Lord's commands as their ancestors did. In the past, the Lord had permitted those nations to stay in the land. He did not quickly force them out or help Joshua's army defeat them."
Chapter 14.
On a day of worship, Jesus went to eat at the home of a prominent Pharisee. The guests were watching Jesus very closely. A man whose body was swollen with fluid was there. Jesus reacted by asking the Pharisees and the experts in Moses' teachings, "Is it right to heal on the day of worship or not?" But they didn't say a thing. So Jesus took hold of the man, healed him, and sent him away. Jesus asked them, "If your son or your ox falls into a well on a day of worship, wouldn't you pull him out immediately?" They couldn't argue with him about this. Then Jesus noticed how the guests always chose the places of honor, so he used this illustration when he spoke to them. When someone invites you to a wedding, don't take the place of honor. Maybe someone more important than you was invited. Then your host would say to you, "Give this person your place." Embarrassed, you would have to take the place of least honor. So when you're invited, take the place of least honor. Then when your host comes, he will tell you, "Friend, move to a more honorable place." Then all the other guests will see how you are honored. Those who honor themselves will be humbled, but people who humble themselves will be honored. Then he told the man who had invited him, "When you invite people for lunch or dinner, don't invite only your friends, family, other relatives, or rich neighbors. Otherwise, they will return the favor. Instead, when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the handicapped, the lame, and the blind. Then you will be blessed because they don't have any way to pay you back. You will be paid back when those who have God's approval come back to life." One of those eating with him heard this. So he said to Jesus, "The person who will be at the banquet in the kingdom of God is blessed." Jesus said to him, "A man gave a large banquet and invited many people. When it was time for the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who were invited, 'Come, everything is ready now.' Everyone asked to be excused. The first said to him, 'I bought a field and I need to see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I bought 5 pairs of oxen and I'm on my way to see how well they plow. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I recently got married and that's why I can't come.' The servant went back to report this to his master. Then the master of the house became angry. He told his servant, 'Run to every street and alley in this city. Bring back the poor, the handicapped, the blind, and the lame.' The servant said, 'Sir, what you've ordered has been done, but there is still room for more people.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go to the roads and paths. Urge the people to come to my house. I want it to be full. I can guarantee that none of those invited earlier will taste any food at my banquet.'" Large crowds were traveling with Jesus. He turned to them and said, "If people come to me and are not ready to abandon their fathers, mothers, wives, children, brothers, and sisters, as well as their own lives, they cannot be my disciples. So those who do not carry their crosses and follow me cannot be my disciples." Suppose you want to build a tower. You would first sit down and figure out what it costs. Then you would see if you have enough money to finish it. Otherwise, if you lay a foundation and can't finish the building, everyone who watches will make fun of you. They'll say, "This person started to build but couldn't finish the job." Or suppose a king is going to war against another king. He would first sit down and think things through. Can he and his 10,000 soldiers fight against a king with 20,000 soldiers? If he can't, he'll send ambassadors to ask for terms of peace while the other king is still far away. In the same way, none of you can be my disciples unless you give up everything. Salt is good, but if salt loses its taste, how will you restore its flavor? It's not any good for the ground or for the manure pile. People throw it away. Let the person who has ears listen.